Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. We're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So this is the second week of At the Table. Last week was fun. We talked last week about welcome to the table, and where this came about, I was in just in prayer and trying to think about the season, and I get to thinking about so much happens at this time of the year around a table. So much happens around a table. We eat a lot, basically is what I'm saying, but so much happens around a table, and the table, I'm using it to represent kind of dual purpose, yes, what this Thanksgiving season. We've spent a lot of time around it and all that good stuff, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week. The table in this series kind of represents the kingdom of God or the Parkway family, and the kingdom of God is bigger than Parkway Life Church, but it's the kingdom of God, and it's Parkway, and last week we were welcome to the table, Brandon Pippin said it a little bit this morning, but Grow Track has really been a success for us this year. In fact, if you've been through Grow Track this year, would you stand up in 2018? If you've been through Grow Track, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Look you here. Look here. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. I don't know any time. Isn't that awesome? Keep standing. Keep standing. Just stay standing for just a minute. Stay standing for a minute. Now, how many of you know their names? Because this is the folks you need to take out for a hamburger, and you need to tell them that we appreciate them, we love them. So sometimes we can kind of come in church, and we can come in church, and I'm glad I'm here. Well, we're glad you're here, but would you be happy to tell somebody else we're glad to have them in our Parkway family, amen? Now, I want to say this. I want you to stand if you're currently going through Grow Track or you haven't been through Grow Track. No, the rest of y'all stay standing. But you haven't been through Grow Track yet, but you like what you feel and experience around Parkway, and you're glad you'd be here, and you maybe been here a week or two or 3 weeks. Would you join them in standing? Would you join them in standing? Is there anybody else who wants to join them? I love that. 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 Now, I want you to do something. I want you to give a crazy, awesome hand for these folks. This is why we do church. This is why we do church. Amen. God richly bless you. Thank you for going through Grow Track this year. If you haven't gone through that, you can start today, man. You can start today. Walk right through that exit door after church, and you can do that. But we're glad. And basically what I just said is welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. There's no hoops to jump through around here. We're just glad you're here. Church is a chance. All the junk up in your world, we're here for you if you need to confess it and talk to us about it, and we'll walk you through it. But your junk is not going to eliminate you from being welcome to the table. I'm preaching already, by the way. You're welcome at this table. You're welcome at this table. I don't care if you've got a pedigree or not. Pedigrees scare me to death. People with pedigree put Jesus on a cross. I need some Heinz 57s. Some scraggly, broken pieces, struggling folks. Walk in and say, I need a place of healing and restoration. And I've heard Parkway is the place. Welcome to the table. And by the way, just because you didn't just stand doesn't mean you don't still need the table. We need one another. We really, really do. And I encourage you to be here on a weekly basis. Make it a part of your culture. Nothing. Y'all know what I get. I'm preaching already, and I'm already off my notes. That's a scary thing. I get so tickled by something I hear every once in a while. Can I share it with y'all? This is pastor humor. But it's not going to really be that funny. It's kind of like dad humor. People come up and say, I almost didn't come today. But I'm so glad that God spoke to my heart. And I get hung up on, I almost didn't come today. Because I'm saying, you look pretty good. What could have possibly kept you out of the house of God? You're here. You're fine. You're good. Why didn't you get up and come to the house of God? That's pastor humor, okay? That's the kind of things I go in my back in the room and I scratch my head and go, I don't get it, but hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I don't get why that ingrown toenail's keeping you out, because God might heal you here with it. You know what I'm saying? We find more things to keep us away from church that don't keep us away from work. Well, I'm having fun. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. And I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I encourage you, be here every week. Every week. Every week. We're in a generation that you've got to keep, and this is not you folks, this is the other people. We're in a generation that if you don't keep them propped up, they don't keep coming to church. Yeah. Or if you don't keep, you know, if you don't keep the plates spinning for them, they don't come to church. You don't come to church because it's hype. You don't come to church because it's a new series and 3 weeks after it's no longer new again, you quit. You come to church because you love Jesus. You come to church because you want to be with your church family. Is that all right? I'm being serious. Y'all, about this church, let me tell you this. We've already learned. About 6 weeks in the series, it's still smoking hot good. But people start dropping off about 3 weeks into it because the hype of the new is off. I'm not fussing at you. I'm saying shake yourself. It's not about that. God's going to be in this room every week. Y'all want me to read my scripture? It's the test. Today, I'm going to speak to you about the testimonies at the table. The testimonies at the table. Around this table, around your Thanksgiving table, around the Kingdom of God table, the testimonies at the table, and do I have a scripture for you. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11. Everybody say he's preaching from Revelations. Boy, you, because if you say that every once, it just makes me sound deep. All right, Revelation. Boy, he's preaching from Revelation. There was a three-horned thing coming. No, I'm just kidding. And they overcame him. Who did they overcome? The enemy, the devil. They overcame him by two key ingredients. They overcame him in Revelations. This is the end of the Bible. How did we win? Let me tell you how we won. You ready? They overcame the enemy. They overcame the devil. They overcame their oppressor by the blood of the Lamb. Let's just stop right there and give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. The blood of the Lamb. And this gets us up in your grill. You ready? And by the word of their... That's your deal. That's what you got. That's what you've received. The blood of the Lamb is the thing that helped you get through. The blood of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary has helped you get through. But the second thing is you left your Calvary. You left your cross. You left that place, and you've got a testimony of what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross, at your place of birth, at an empty tomb. And because of it, you got a testimony. And because of that testimony, you are going to be an overcomer. And many times as believers, we fail to realize that one of the greatest weapons that we have against hell is our testimony. Amen. And it's like we come into church and we forget what is scaring hell to death. What scares hell to death is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and your testimony. He's scared of your testimony. But I'm just stop and say this. Some of you scared of your testimony. And I'll preach about that in a minute. And so open your mouth. Testify. Testify. Don't ever think that your testimony is not important. According to the word of God, it's the part of the way that you overcome. Let me tell you this. Joshua chose 12 men in the Word of God. He chose 12 dudes. And each one was the head of their tribe. And there's 12 tribes. And so they're crossing Jordan. And the Lord had already done so many great miracles for them. And so one of the things that he does, Joshua says this, I want each guy in the group, the head of the tribe, I want you to grab a stone and I want you to carry the stone. And when you get in the middle of the Jordan, because see, the Lord had dried up Jordan. Kind of a miracle, people. He dried up Jordan. He dried up, you know, this river, this rushing river. He dried it up. And so Joshua says, when you grab a stone and when you get in the middle of the river of Jordan, I want you to put a stone down and I want you to mark it for the goodness of God. It's going to be your testimony stone. I'm giving it to you as a testimony stone, and these stones were to become the pillars of the testimony of the miracle that God, of the power of God, that he has done by dividing Jordan and blessing their life and helping them to go through. And he said, listen, I want all of the children of Israel to know throughout time, this stand is a monument to them, that this is the place where Jesus Christ, God Almighty, did a miraculous power and a miracle for us. And I want you to carry the stone. Everybody say, every man,
every man.
A stone. You need to carry your own stone of testimony. You don't need to let somebody else carry it for you. You don't need to let the husband be the only one that carries the stone of testimony. You don't need to let the students be the only one that carry the stone of testimony. You need every man in this house, every woman in this house, every student in this house needs to pick up a stone of testimony and say, I have something that is mine that God's given me. He's done a miracle in my life. Has God done a miracle for anybody in this room? Anybody. I mean, he has done something for, thank you, Herschel. Stand up with that stone. Give God praise. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been faithful to you. He's been supportive to you. Carry your own testimony. Every man needs to carry his own testimony. I don't care if you're in the, you know, if you're in a valley today, and I don't mean I don't care like I don't have compassion for you. What I'm saying is, even if you're in a valley, let me say it that way. Even if you're in a valley today, bless God, somewhere he gave you a miracle. You need to resurrect that testimony in the middle of your valley to give you strength in the middle of what you're going through. And let me say this, and I hope this will be on the screen for you, and that is this. Your testimony is what makes you valuable to the kingdom. Well, I'm valuable to the kingdom because I'm pretty. I'm valuable to the kingdom because I'm rich. I'm valuable to the kingdom because I'm good looking. I'm valuable to the kingdom because I got a vest on. I look pretty hot in this vest, don't I? Reason I said that because Adina told me that this morning. I'm just sharing it with you. I'm not even wearing it for you. I'm wearing it because she likes it. I walked out, she goes, oh, baby. You like that, baby? You know what she does sometimes when I'm preaching? She takes pictures of me. She said, you looking good. That's my testimony. Don't be stealing my testimony. My wife just went. Y'all love the Lord today? Can we have fun at church? Is it all right to have fun at church? Yeah. Can I just be myself? Is that all right? You know? No? Okay. Let me go back into my revelations mode. Your testimony is what makes you valuable to the kingdom. It makes you valuable to the kingdom. It makes you have worth in the kingdom in the fact of what you've come through. You have value. Value. You're valuable to the kingdom. I don't care what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What you've been through makes you valuable because he brought you through. But you've got to testify. You've got to tell it. And it makes you dangerous to hell. Hell's scared to death of your testimony. Scared to death. You see, it's not just what you came through and what you made it through that makes you a threat to hell. It's that you came through. And hell hates that. In other words, your personal victory benefits no one except yourself if your mouth is shut at the table. It doesn't bless anybody else. And the Lord saved you to be a game changer for other people. But when you open your mouth and you declare the faithfulness of God and declare the mercies of God that delivered you, that restored you, and that set you free, your testimony becomes a weapon. Your testimony becomes a sword in your hand. Your testimony becomes an instrument of power to set other captives free. Amen? Your testimony becomes a lifeline to someone who is sinking around you. Tell your neighbor. I want you to tell your neighbor right now, I've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. But let me, and I stated this early, but let me say it again. Many of God's people have been shamed. Hear me what I'm about to tell you. Many of God's people have been ashamed into hiding your testimony. Now, when I say the word shame, you think of your enemy. You think of the devil, right? Many of God's people have been shamed by hell to not share your God-given testimony in the church of the house and the house of God. You've not been able to stay at the table. I'm going to say this real. This breaks my heart. This just hit me. People have gotten up from the table because they think they're the only one at the table that's got issues. Because you are got your testimony so quiet that they think that there's a halo over your head. Get your halo off and get your testimony on. Because somebody can be saved through what you've been through. Man, I'm... Many of God's people are afraid to give their testimony because the devil makes them believe that if they talk about it, that it might open the door for it to come back or for it to cause them to fall back into the pit where they've been delivered from. And so they refuse to tell it. And this is nothing but the spirit of fear. I can hear, let me tell you how I hear it sometimes. People start talking about their deliverance and what God did for them, and then they start apologizing. I've done it before. God's done this for me. Now, I'm not saying I'm beyond this. I'm not saying I'm this. I'm not saying I'm that. People have been healed of alcohol. Hey, once an alcohol, always an alcohol. I'm just telling, I'm not better than anybody. Just shut up and give your testimony. Just shut up and give your testimony. Didn't go together. But anyways, open your mouth and give your testimony. The spirit of fear is breaking you down to the point that you're not delivering what God has given to you. Don't baptize it with fear. Don't let the devil get any glory. He's the one that kicked your tail and put you there. God helped bring you out. Now testify of the goodness and grace. If you was an alcoholic and God delivered, we need to hear about it. If you were on drugs and prescription drugs and pornography and you were a whoremonger and everything, we don't want to hear all the details, but we do want to hear that I once was lost and now I'm found. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear the goodness of God, because the goodness of God will set people free. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says this word of wisdom that is just full of wisdom, this book. And it says this. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. We're about to introduce on Sundays to this church something called freedom. And there's others going through it right now. But this is a key scripture in this. It's a Proverbs scripture. It says 18. death and life are in the power of our tongue. So in this tongue that you have the ability to kill, but you also have the ability to bring life. And once you come into the presence of God and God saves you and sanctifies you and touches your life, he not only saves your heart, he saves your tongue. And where you used to speak death in a bar room, where you used to speak death, where you used to speak death into people's lives, now you're out of your tongue should come life and life more abundantly. Amen? God didn't sanctify you and save you for you to get a case of the shut mouth. He saved and sanctified you for you to open your mouth. Y'all ever seen some people come in the church and I can't take your glasses off when you have a mic on. But y'all ever seen some folks get in the church and in the world they were wild and woolly and crazy and, well, they were like Billy. And then they come in the church and they get saved and sanctified and get so dignified that you never hear anything from them again. And they go silent for God. Don't you think God must be sad about that? If God can get sad, I think that would make him sad. In other words, I gave you your personality. I gave you your passions. I gave you your desires. I gave you the drive. And then you got saved and sanctified and you went to sleep on a pew somewhere, quiet, and no, didn't affect anybody in your world. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy. Because I bet you when you were in the world, you were a character. Because you're a character in the church. Now, if you every once in a while, if you hear somebody, when it gets lit in here, that's Holy Ghost lit. When it gets lit in here and you hear a whistle, that's Billy. That's a redeemed whistle. I guarantee you, I don't know much about his past, but I guarantee you when he was wild and woolly in the world, there was a whistle that came forward. And I'm glad when he came in the church, when we start praising our God, it might offend some of you. To me, it's worship. It's the sounds of worship. It's the sound of the body of Christ. You keep whistling in this house because I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about what God's doing. Don't whistle at a ball game on Sunday and then shut up when you get saved and sanctified. Don't be all excited and be crazy on Sunday when you were drinking a beer and throwing wild parties and then come in the house of God and he cleans you up, did it work in the number in you, and then you get quiet and saved and sanctified and shut up and Holy Ghost filled. Let it come out of you. Be alive in Christ. Testify. Be a testifier. Have a testimony. You know what? Shame on us if we come to church and the people around you don't know what God did for you. Shame on you if we come to church and the people around you don't know. Hey, when you turn around and shake hands with somebody, you ought to be saying, hey, man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Had I not been here, if I not found this place, I'd probably be about 6 foot under because that's the route I was heading. But the Lord came through. Oh, by the way, you look nice today. Tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. You want to win people on your job? Don't go in and start debating them. Don't bring your Bible to the office and open it up and say, bless God, let me read to you from Leviticus. I got some law I want to share because you outside the law. Huh? I believe in the Word of God, but what I'm trying to tell you, at this moment, they need to know two things. Jesus Christ died for them. That's the blood of the Lamb. And the second thing they need to know is they need to know what he did for you. Somebody with me, amen? They didn't know what he did for you. And some of us have discounted what he did for you your story. You've discounted that part of the story from your life. And that's the part that is helping making you an overcomer. Amen. And so jump back up into that. And I've got a testimony. And my testimony is my very own. You can't have my testimony. It's my testimony. You can't have my testimony. It's mine all by myself. But I'm going to tell others about what he's done for you. I've got a testimony. And this may be what yours sounds like. I fought hell. I fought for my future, for my destiny. And there were times when I felt like giving up, and there was times when I felt like I couldn't make it, and there was times when I felt like the people around me didn't believe in me and already written me off, and we lost our house, and we lost our car, we lost our money, we should have lost our mind, but God. But God. Has anybody have a but God testimony up in the world? But God in your world, a God that has stood up for you, established you, took care of you. You shouldn't have gotten that position on the job. Others are a lot more qualified than you, but God. And then he gave it to you, and you went in quiet mode. I don't want to be so Christian about it. I don't want to put my God stuff on everybody. Get loud! Because God knows everybody else in the world is loud. Everybody's screaming their junk. Somebody needs to hear something scream from the mountaintop of the good things of the gospel. Well, I'm really starting to have fun, and I'm really running out of time. You shouldn't be living in the kind of house you're living in. Driving the kind of car you're driving. Making the kind of money you're making. Wearing the kind of vest you're wearing. But God. Eric, you took my heart out, threw it on the ground, and stomped it. Sunday, your testimony. You were just a normal dude in here until Sunday you shared your testimony. Because that's the value. You said I was the dude under the bridge. And now I'm going back under the bridge and loving people. And you shared it better than I can because it's your testimony. The three Hebrew children had a great miracle when God delivered them through the fiery furnace. They had a great miracle. I mean, it's one of those that we teach our kids in Parkway Kids, but the most valuable thing that they received that day was not the miracle, it was the testimony. Yes. That God showed up in the fire. Amen. It was the testimony. We overcome today by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I want you to stand right now. Would you do this real quick? I'm not through, so don't get excited. I want you to turn to someone, and I want you to, in fact, go ahead and get it set up. Right, okay? Go ahead and turn to somebody. Make it real awkward and everything, okay? Ready? Turn to somebody. And then, because I got a bunch of stuff for you to say. I got a bunch of, hey, hello. Hello. I'm still up here, but I need y'all. Y'all are like, oh, I didn't know you were sitting next to me. This is so cool. All right, hold on. Listen what we're going to do. I want you to speak something to them, all right? I want you to speak life into them. You ready? So listen to me closely. I'm going to give you statements, then I want you to repeat it. I'm going to give you another statement, I want you to repeat it. But I want you to go, I want you to repeat it, okay? All right, here we go. Look right at them and say, you'll have to, one will have to say it and then the other one back. Y'all got to organize this thing, okay? This is what I want you to say. Somebody is going to be delivered because of your testimony. Y'all ain't ready. Forgive the ain't. Here we go. Somebody's going to be healed because of your testimony. Somebody's going to receive boldness because of your testimony. Somebody's going to receive strength to stand up again because of your testimony. Somebody who was on the verge of a nervous breakdown is going to find peace because of your testimony. Yeah, I gave you a long one because y'all smart. God saved your mind. You smart. Somebody who was about to quit is not going to quit because of your testimony. Now put your finger in their face and say this. No wonder the devil's tried to kill you. Woo. Say this, no wonder the devil wants you to shut up. Because he wants to kill your testimony. But it's not happening today. Because it's my testimony. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise and a shout of praise. Amen. It's your testimony. Man, we're about to have some church up in here. Can y'all let me preach 5 more minutes? Come get ready. And don't come play if you ain't got a song of testimony. The sword of Goliath represents some things. But it represents different things in different hands. You can be seated if you don't forget your testimony. The sword of Goliath has a representation of a couple different things. In one hand, it means something different than it means in another hand. Listen to this closely. I'm wrapping up, but I'm not finished. In the hand of Goliath, the sword of Goliath represents that which was sent to kill, steal, and destroy from your life. We could call it sickness. We could call it diseases. We could call it attacks on your character, attacks on your marriage, attacks on your life. The bottom line is, it is that which the devil has sent to kill you. And that's what the sword represents in Goliath's hand. All right, does that make sense to everybody? But all of a sudden, there's a little runt come along named David. And the same sword, this is Goliath's sword, by the way. Goliath's sword, David has now conquered Goliath. And David goes and picks up his sword. And now the same sword that just a few minutes ago stood for the fact that I come to kill, steal, and destroy, now it's in the hand of a little guy named David. And in David's hand, that same sword that a few minutes ago was on sight to kill, steal, and destroy, now it's in David's hand as a testimony of the greatness of what God has done in my life. Woo, that's good stuff right there. The same sword becomes his testimony that whatever the devil has designed and launched against him did not work. And so I raise the blade and I let it shine and glisten in the sun. And I say, this is my testimony. I'm not going to let it go down just because the situation is defeated. I'm not going to let that sword lay in the ground. I'm not going to let that sword stay there. I'm going to go over and I'm going to grab, because what was there to whip my hide now becomes a testimony in my hand of the goodness of God. I'm going to say this. Some things have come against you to whip your hide, to beat you up, to destroy you. And God showed up and took the miraculous, a little stone, and defeated something bigger than you can imagine. Don't you leave the sword that was meant to destroy you in the ground. You need to pick that back up and say, this is my testimony. This is what God did for me. I almost didn't make it, but God brought me through. It's the testimony there. You can stand up now. I'm really wrapping it up. I only have 16 pages left. It's the testimony, this, that says no weapon. Say it with me. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You believe that? It's the testimony. Say this with me. It's the testimony that if God is for you, who can be against you? Lift that up in your family. Speak that life in your family. This is what David did. I like this. He took the sword. That's his testimony of what God had just done for him. And he goes to, I love the Old Testament. It gets grimy and rough. He walks over to Goliath, who's laying there, this giant of a man. And he takes this giant sword. Can you see this little fellow? He's got, two hands on it. Can you imagine this big old sword? The Bible says it was like a weaver's beam. I mean, it's like, whoa. And he's bringing it over. Can you see him? Sometimes your testimony feels like it's almost too big for you, doesn't it? Because God's been so good. That's good right there. And he brings it over. He brings it over. Can you see him get it lined up with Samson's head? And like the gavel's fixing to come down, baby. I know this is gory, but welcome the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, he lets the sword fall. And David cuts off the head of Goliath with Goliath's own sword. Some of us, instead of murmuring and complaining about what you're going through and what the devil's doing, ought to be praising the Lord and ought to be saying, thank you, Mr. Devil, for giving me something to work with. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for putting a sword in my hand to cut your head off with. If you wouldn't have brought it out here, I wouldn't have had a sword. What was meant to cut me is now going to cut you. Now listen to this. And those of you who say you're going through big trials and big fires and big problems, you need to understand, it is so that you can have a big sword. I don't want a little bitty switchblade. I don't want a pocket knife. I want to bring a big sword out, and I want to cart it through my life of what God has done for me in every moment of my past. Not just so that I can live off of it and the strength of it, but that you can live off of it. Because you're going to walk in a valley, and you're going to have a Goliath holler at you, send me a man. But when you see the glimmer of my sword, it's going to give you strength in your life to know that God's going to give you a sword also in this same battle. Give the Lord some love today. Can you do that? And you need to know something. You need to know that there is no miracle without a problem. You need to know that there's no victory without a battle. That there's no crown without a cross. You need to know that there's no resurrection without a death. And there's no testimony without a test. Well, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this room right now. I believe that. You're going through the fire right now. And you're in the fight right now. And you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And you've been attacked physically. You've been attacked emotionally. You've been attacked spiritually. You've been attacked financially. And your family's under attack. And your marriage is being attacked. And your ministry is being attacked. And it seems like all hell is being unleashed against you. You're not going to burn up in the fire. You're coming out with a victory. And you're coming out something that's going to make you stronger. And it's also going to give you a bigger sword. But not only that, you're coming out with a testimony. And that testimony is going to help you become an overcomer. And now I want you to testify this. And I want you to repeat this with me. You ready? Say, I was sick, but God healed me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was bound by drugs and alcohol. Some of you didn't want to say that because you say, well, I didn't have drugs and alcohol in my system. I bet your grandma did or somebody did. Somebody down through your lineage has got some junk. And had it not been a deliverance somewhere, it might have filtered in on your life. It's all right to say, I might have been oppressed by something had it not been for Jesus. Say, I was oppressed by a spirit of fear, but God set me free. I was sinking in debt, but God gave me a miracle. I was about to lose my marriage, but God brought restoration. I was about to lose my mind, but God stepped in and spoke peace and said, peace be still. There's power in your testimony, people. I want you to do something right now. At Parkway Life Church, if you're a guest, and we have a number of guests here today, we lift our hands around here, and I know that every church doesn't do that. It's come across the tracks. Used to, if they thought we were crazy because we lift our hands, but it's coming across the tracks. And now, let me tell you why we lift our hands. We get so excited about what God's done for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Why do they lift their hands at games, football games? Why will they do that across America? They're excited about what's taking place on the field. They're excited. Man, look at what they just did. I'm going to testify.